As we read the gospel records, we read eyewitness accounts of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. In a sense, the gospels are just the beginning of Christ's work. The adventure continues in the book of Acts. In this study with Scott Pauley, we consider the continuing work of Christ through the Holy Spirit, who works through the apostles and the New Testament church. Now, let's get in on the adventure.
The reason that so much history is given to us in Scripture is that all of it is instruction. We learn from how God has dealt with others about how God is dealing with us. We learn so much about what to do and what not to do. That is why Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, which is quite a sermon, is so packed full of the history of God's dealing with the nation of Israel, because he was speaking to the nation of Israel. He was using their history to speak to their present. Isn't God always trying to speak to us right where we are? We have discovered from our meditation in Acts chapter 7 thus far that the whole message really is not about people, and it's really not about Israel. It's all about God. It's always about God, the God of glory. And we've observed a number of things that the God of glory did. The God of glory appeared. The God of glory promised, the God of glory gave, the God of glory delivered. The God of glory came, the God of glory saw, the God of glory sent. And who did he send? He sent a man named Moses. This is where we pick up the story today in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." Now, this is really not the story of Moses. It's the story of God working in and through Moses. But it is interesting how much emphasis is given to this one man. Verse 35, this Moses, the same. Verse 37, this is that Moses. Verse 38, this is he. Why such an emphasis? Because he's bringing them to a point of application. He's saying to them, do you understand that in the Old Testament, Moses initially was rejected? Nobody wanted him to lead them. Nobody believed he was the deliverer, and that was the very one God had chosen to deliver our forefathers from the land of Egypt. What's he doing? He's connecting that to Christ, you see, because they had now rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to that part of the message very shortly. That was the bottom line of the whole message. It all leads to Christ. And he was saying to them, you're rejecting him. You don't want to follow him, but he is the very one chosen by the Father, sent by the Father to be our great deliverer. There's a beautiful picture here in Moses of the coming Messiah. Moses was a prophet. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect prophet, the perfect fulfillment of prophecy. From among the brethren, raised up of God, speaking on behalf of the Lord. So many parallels here. And so God is at work. Now, we've learned already all these things the God of glory did. Let's add this to our list. In verse 36, he brought them out. Praise God. The Lord who allowed them to be in Egypt to start with, to preserve them, who kept them through their 400 years in Egypt, is now bringing them out. And might I say, in a spectacular way. The God who appeared in the bush showed up in Egypt. God always shows up. He always shows up right on time. He brought them into Egypt to bring them out of Egypt, and God always delivers his own. Yet the Bible says in verse 39, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rephim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. And so, what do we find here? That the very people that were blessed, the very people that God had delivered and saved, now turned away from him. I don't know about you, this is deeply convicting to me, because I'm not thinking about them. I'm thinking about my own heart. You know, we can spot the sin of others so readily, so quickly. What's wrong with these Israelites? What's wrong with these people rejecting their deliverer? And yet, don't we do the same? God brings us out. God delivers us. God saves us. God blesses us. And what do? We turn away from him. We create our own idols. We begin to worship other things and pursue other interests. Oh, how that must break the heart of our great God. This is the first time in the list where there is a negative that God, the God of glory, does. To this point, he's appearing and promising and giving and delivering and seeing and coming and sending and bringing. But now, verse 42 says, God turned. God turned. God turned away from them and gave them up. He said, all right, I'm going to give you what you want. You know, sometimes the more you get what you want, the less you want what you get. We think we know what we want. And then the consequences of our disobedience comes, and God begins to turn away. Notice in verse 39, they turned away from him. In verse 42, he turned away from them. Friend, if you turn your back on God, don't expect his face to be towards you. You know, we want to live with our backs toward the Lord, and then when we get in trouble, we want to pray and expect God's face is toward us. The saddest chastening of all is when God hides his face. The joy is gone. The blessing is gone. The access is gone. The God of glory is seeking to get their attention. Do you see the positive and the negative today? On the positive side, he brings them out. On the negative side, he turns away. May I ask you a question? Where are you today? Are you living, rejoicing that God has delivered you and brought you out? Are you praising him? Are you obeying him? Are you living out of a grateful heart? Or is it possible that just like those rebels in the wilderness, we too have so hardened our hearts and grown so callous to the goodness of God that suddenly we've turned away from him? And instead of experiencing God's continual blessing, the Lord has had to turn away from us. Do you know why God turns? God turns so we will return. God doesn't turn because he hates you. God turns because he loves you. God doesn't turn because he's given up on you. God turns because he wants you to come to the end of yourself and cry out to him for mercy and for grace. And perhaps today, wherever you are, you need to pause and acknowledge that the God of glory has been very good to you, has blessed you, and repent of your sin, and look to him again, and say to God, dear God, forgive me for turning back again to Egypt. Forgive me for getting away from you. Lord, I want to be close to you again. I want to be in fellowship with you again. This is the great message, not just of Stephen's sermon. This is the great message of the whole Bible, that we would stay right with God. May the Lord help us all today to apply the truth. The adventure of following Jesus can only continue as we continue to follow him.
The same is true today as it was then. The Lord is at work in this world through his Holy Spirit, drawing people to himself. What a privilege as God's children to be a part of what God is doing in this world today. If you'll visit enjoyingthejourney.org, you will find many resources that will equip you as you walk with the Lord. You will find previous podcast series and episodes, full-length Bible messages, and a topical search engine that will aid you in studying Bible subjects. If this podcast is a blessing to you, we hope you will share it with a friend. Be sure to join us on the next episode of this continuing adventure through the book of Acts.